We were in chapter Nun Dalet, chapter 54. Really, the Haftarah of Parashat Ki Teitzei, I believe it is. Ani asoar alo nuchama, hinei anochi marbiz bapucha banayach, v'yisadetir basapirim, v'samtich kad chod shim shaltayach, u'sha'arayach lavneich egdach, v'chod vuleich lavneich hechus. That was the last pasuk that we learned. You may recall that we talked about the machloket between Michael and Gabriel, between Yehuda and Cheskiah. What were the stones that Yerushalayim was going to be paved with? Were they Avnei Shoham or were they Avnei Yoshbe? You remember that hole?
Yeah.
Oh, that was quite a shear, if I must say so myself. All right. Incidentally, this is more than incidentally, yesterday in the morning, Shir was dedicated to the memory of Helene Isaacs, Olah Shalom, still in the middle of the Shiva. We dedicate the Shir this morning. Kim Alvind is, of course, one who attends the Shir regularly for many years. She was an exceptional and an outstanding woman, and she passed away on Friday. The Levaya was on Friday. And we wish the family that the Hamakim Yenachem Otam B'Tov Shana V'Litzim V'Yushalayim. Alright. The Navi Yeshayahu is describing that in times to come the streets of Yerushalayim are going to be paved. Well, paved with gold, paved with very precious stones. But it's not that is not enough. You know what else is going to take place? What else is going to take place is V'chol Bonayich Limudei Hashem, all of your children will be those who will have studied God, have studied Torah. V'rab Shalom Bonayich, and great will be the peace of your children. Chapter 54, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The mouth, also that Torah for Noah. The Maldim explains that the two major factors that create divisions amongst people, the two major components of separation between members of one community are either economics, and unfortunately a recent study shows that Eretz Yisrael has the greatest gap in the whole world between the rich and the poor. You have extremely wealthy people in this country, and side by side you have extremely poor people, the greatest gap. So economics is that which creates divisions, sharp biting divisions between communities. There's something else. Religion also is religion is a major factor. It can either be non-religious versus religious, anti-religious versus religious. I mean, and we of course have the whole variety, the whole gamut, whatever you want. You want different shades of religious, from Haredi to modern Orthodox, to Dati Lumi, to the Nishot Hakotel. You have everything. These are the two factors that usually tear asunder the fabric of a society: economics or religion. So Yeshayahu is saying the following, that in time to come economics will not be a factor, because Yerushalayim is going to be a place of great wealth. If they said about the United States, you know, when Jews got went steerage from Poland, from Galicia to the United States, because the streets are paved with gold, right? The streets of Yerushalayim are going to be paved with precious stones. So that means that Malum explains that that pasuk of Isanti, the first two psukim over here, Ani asoar alo nechama, hinei anochi marbiz vapuch avanayecha, I am going to place place the precious stones within your walls, the Yisadatir Basafirin. These two psukim tell us that economic divisions are going to disappear, because prosperity is going to be something that everybody is going to enjoy. And then Pasuk Yud Gimel comes to tell us that the religious divisions are also going to disappear, because V'chol Bonayich Limudei Hashem, all of your children will have studied God and have known Him, and therefore V'ram Shalom Bonayich, therefore there will be great peace amongst your children. If you remove the economic factor, if you remove the religious factor, then what you remain with is Rav Shalom Bonaya. B'tzedaka tikonani. Now, up until now we were talking about the two factors that militate against unity from within: the economic and the religious. There are also two threats from without. The two threats from without are the threat of those who will rob and who will steal, who will take from us. And then there is, of course, the threat to life that comes from without. There are those who want indeed to destroy us. So in the first three psukim, that is Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, and Yud Gimel, we were talking about the two factors from within. As we said, the economic and the religious, that's going to be taken care of. There are the other two, the two from without. B'tzedaka tikonani, with righteousness you will be established, firmly established. And then rachakim eyoshek, you're going to be far from being robbed, blind by anybody. Ki lo tiroi, you will not have reason to be afraid. Umi mechita. Mechita means destruction, physical destruction. You will also not be afraid. Ki lo tikrav eloyach, because it's not going to come close to you. The two threats from without, you also will not have to be frightened of. So b'tzedaka tikonani means, and tzedaka over here does not mean, when Yeshayahu talks about tzedaka, he does not mean the way in which we use the term now to mean charity. Tzedaka means righteousness, and tzedaka usually means the relationship between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'tzedaka tikonani. Mishpat, we will see, we're going to come to Mishpat. Mishpat always represents the relationship between man and fellow man. B'tzedaka tikonani. You will be established with, because of the righteousness, your conduct of righteousness between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rachakim eyoshek. And therefore you will be far, you will be distanced from anybody who's going to come rob you. Kilo tiroi, you will not have to be afraid of it. And the way I read the pasuk, the kilo tiroi is going on the first half of the pasuk and the second. You know what else you don't have to worry about? Kilo tiroi. You know what you don't have to worry about? Mechita, destruction, physical destruction. Kilo tikrav eloyach, it's not going to get close to you. Hein gor yogur efes meoti mi gor itach alayich yipol. Not an easy pasuk. Not an easy pasuk. But I'm going to take the maybe the easy way out. The Mitzudas David Gor. The word Gor means fear. Fear. We have it in Torah. Lo taguru mipnei ish. Don't be afraid of any man. Hein gor yagor, if there is fear. Now there's another meaning for the word gor yagor, could have another meaning. In Torah it says that Hashem tells the Jewish people about Edom lo, and Ammon u'Moab, lo tidgor bo milchama, don't start up with them. You will hear certain sections of our community, asur lehitgarot b'umot ha'olam, you're not permitted to start up or enrage the nations of the world. So the Mitzudas David says he says the following. Hein gor yagur, you know who has to fear? Do you know who has to live with fear? Efes me oti, somebody who is nothing with me, distance from me. The person who is far from God, if I am God and nothing, well then you have something to worry about. Gor yagur, you know who has to be frightened? Efes me oti. Mi gor itach alayach yipol. Here, what he does is, I think it's the great compromise. The first gor yagur in the pasuk, he says, means fear. Who has to fear? Who has to fear? Somebody to whom I don't exist. The second gor itach, he uses the second meaning of gor. The one who starts off with you, the one who begins war with you, you know what his end is going to be? Olayich yipol. Before you, he will fall. He will fall before you. The Malbim says different approach. He only takes he uses the meaning of gor yorgur throughout the pasuk. Means the one who incites you to war. The one who comes to war against you. So he says, Mi gor yagur. Who is the one that will come to war against you? Efes me oti, don't you think it comes from me? I'm the God of history. Do you think that there are events in history in which I am not involved? Gor yagur, efes me oti. Mi gor itach. Who is the one that will have the nerve to start up with you? Olayich yipol. Who is the one that will come and pounce down upon you? You should know that if anything goes wrong, I am the one who may very well be pulling the strings over there. And it depends on your relationship with me. And you should know, Hein Anochi, next passage, Hein Anochi Barati Charash. I'm the one who created the artisan, the art of creating the implements of war. I'm the one who created the artisan. Nofeach Be'esh Pecham. When you blow at the fire and create the coals that are going to be used to smelt the metal, umotzi kli lemasehu, and then as you take it out of the fire, you take out a weapon lemasehu for which to use it. Vanochi barati mashchit lechabel. I am the one who has created the sword that can destroy and injure, and therefore, if I don't want it to happen, then it's not going to happen. And here comes, I think most probably one of the, I say this every year, I know that. So take me seriously. One of the amazing psukim in Yeshayahu. Since I am the one behind it all, kol kli yutzar, I will blow yitzlach. This is psukim that it's worthwhile learning ba'al peh. Kol kli yutzar olayich lo yitzlach. Any implement that is formed by man against you will not succeed. V'chol lashon takum itach, and any tongue that will stand up against you, lamishpat, for judgment, tarishii, you will find them guilty. Zot nachalat avdei Hashem, this is the inheritance of the servants of God, v'tzidkatam, and their righteousness may eat from me, nu'um Hashem, says God. I handed out sheet one that I gave you, is a Rambam. I'm going to learn that Rambam with you. Sheet number one. You should know the Rambam was not only a great posek, the Rambam was also a great Meforesh. The Rambam is a classic. So first of all, you have to know which side to start on, right? Okay? So I know that you need me. So now if you'll take a look at the page numbers at the top. Kuf Yud Dalet. Kuf Yud Dalet. Because after Kuf Yud Dalet comes Kuf Tetzvot. And on the other side, we're on Kuf Tetzayin and Kuf Yud Zayin. This is a section that comes from the Rambam's Igeret Teiman, or it's called Petach Tikva. That's what it says at the top. The Igeret Teiman was a letter that the Rambam wrote to the Jews of Yemen who were suffering terribly under the heel of Islam. I mean, anybody who's going to tell you that we've been living side by side for so many years in absolute peace with the Muslim community, and all the tzaddas began in this century, knoweth not his history. We always suffered under them. The Rambam was one of the people who may have suffered more than many others. The Jews in Yemen at the time were suffering terribly. They were given the choice of accepting Mohammed as the prophet of God or die by the sword. Die by the sword. So the Rambam sent them a letter. And it was a letter of, first of all, to tell them halachically how they are to conduct themselves. And it was also a letter of great encouragement to them. That's why it was also called Petach Tikva. It was the opening of hope. So he says the following, on page Kuf Yud Dalet, second paragraph. It's just that here you will hear the Rambam as a leader, in a sense, one who feels and senses the pain of his people. Va'ata achenu, now our brothers, chayavim atem lahatot oznechem, incline your ear v'lishmoa masha asad elifnechem, and listen to what I will present before you. U'telamduhu latafel anoshim, teach it to your children and to your wives. So that you should strengthen those areas where they had doubt in their faith, and strengthen in their souls the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth that one should not move from it. The Creator will save us and will save you from doubts. I want you to know the truth. De'u, you should know. Shezoti Torat Hashem Ha'amitit Shenitna Lanu Ayedei Adon Kol HaNevi'im HaRishonim V'Acharonim. You should know that the Torah that we have is the Torah of God that was given to us by the Master, the greatest of all prophets, at the beginning and at the end. Now, you understand why he says that. Because what the Muslims wanted is that Jews should say Allah is God and Mohammed is his prophet. See, there was a difference between Christianity and Islam. Christianity said that Yeshu is God. Islam said that Allah is God. No, Islam was never Avodah Zarah, it was not idolatry. But what they said is that Mohammed is his prophet, and therefore whatever Mohammed says therefore rescinds and removes and overrides that which was said by Moshe. So you should know that the Torah, therefore the Rambam says, you should know that the Torah was given to us by the greatest of all prophets, Rishonim and Achronim, the early and the last. There is no prophet greater than Moshe. With this Torah, God separated us, the Creator separated us from all other people. It was only your fathers that God loved, and he chose their children after them. Yes, the Rambam was not afraid to quote a pasuk that says we are the chosen people. God chose you. That's right. You don't like it? Too bad. But that's the fact. That's what it says in Torah. Ve'ein zeh, now watch. Ve'ein zeh l'fi shehayinu ru'uyim l'kach. It's not because we were worthy of it. Ela b'chazdo shel habore, the Torah was the kindness and the goodness of the Creator. Shehit chaseid eleinu, he acted with kindness toward us. Ve'hitiv lanu, and he was good to us. You know why? B'shvil shekodmu lavotenu ma'asim tovim b'yidiyat habore u'ba'avodoto. Because we had fathers. We had fathers who served him well, who did good deeds, knew God, and worshipped him. Shenema, as it says, lo midut chani kol ha'amin koshak Hashem b'chem. It's not because you are the most of all people in numbers that God desired you. Ki me'avat Hashem b'chem, God's love for you, u'mishamro et ha'shvua shenishba l'avotechem, and because he kept the oath that he promised to your fathers. Zchut avot, because of our fathers. Because God separated and singled us out, the Creator singled us out with his mitzvahs and with his statutes, and it's very clear the advantage or the position that we have over others. Who is the great people asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim kechol ha-Torah hazot asher anochi noten l'techem? Who is a great people that has statutes and laws righteous like all of this Torah that I give before you? Says the Rambam, because of our chosenness, kin'unu ha-goyim kulam al datenu kin'ah gedola, the nations of the world were envious and jealous of us because of this, a great envy and jealousy. Therefore their kings pressured because of this jealousy, they wanted to create upon us enmity and hatred. What they really want to do is they want to wage war with God. The la'asot meriva imo. This is an extremely important position taken by the Rambam. They want to wage war with God. They want to contend with him. Ve'elokim hu umi yored lo, he's God. How do you fight with God? Do you know who you fight with? The next best thing. That's us. Because we represent him. Ve'en lochazman, there has been no time, may oz shenitna lanu Torah zu ad zmanenu zeh. There hasn't been a time from when Torah was given until now. Shekol melech oved avodazara, gover, o machriach, o mitgaber, o anas. There is no king who was an idolater, who was, and he uses different terms in order to describe them. Gover, one who was stronger than us. O machliach, or one who wanted to coerce us. O midgaber, one who waxed even stronger of us. O anos, or those who wanted to compel us. She'en tchilat kavanato v'dato. You should know that every one of them, who was opposed to us had a kavana, an intent. V'she'en tchilat kavanato v'dato listor toratenu v'lahafol datenu ba'ones v'nitzachon u'b'choref. They want to contradict our Torah and turn our religion upside down, either through coercion, through victory, or the sword. Coercion, victory, or the sword. Kemo, Amalek, Sisra, Sancheret, Nebuchadnezzar, Titus, Adrianus, Baharbe, Kiyotzaven. He has listed the tyrants of history up until his time. Now, he will explain in a moment that what he's talking about here are those whose intention was to physically crush us. So it begins with Amalek and it continues on to Sisra. Sancheriv we've been learning about in Yeshayahu. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come another 150 years down the line from Yeshayahu. Titus is going to destroy the second Beit HaMikdash. Adrianus, Hadrian, was the Roman governor at the time of Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kokhba, who crushed the Bar Kokhba rebellion. They rebelled. The fact is that they rebelled because Hadrian was so cruel. They were incapable of living under the heel of the cruelty of Hadrian. There's a double negative. He says there is no enemy whose first intention is not, meaning whose intention is. There's a double negative there. Now a double negative. That's what, trust me. Yeah, that's what it means. There is none for whom his first intention is not. Yeah. Now watch what he's going to say. Zehu hanoa ha'echod mishnei hanoim. This is the first motivation from the two shehit kavnu bo linatzeach hachefetz ha'eloki. This is only one of the two intentions that those who wanted to be victorious over God's will. He's going to say simply, throughout history, there have been those who wanted to destroy and exterminate physically the Jewish people. And then there are those who wanted to kill us with kindness. There are those who wanted to embrace us with that bear hug of love that we would end up simply assimilating within the larger society. You can kill the Jew with the sword, and you can kill him with the open and free society of the United States of America, and most probably more Jews in the last century were lost to Yiddishkeit in the United States than were lost during the course of the Shoah. There's no comparison. There's simply no comparison. America has been the best, worst gullus that Klal Yisrael ever had. Best in terms, you know, where freedom, Jews have been able to move up into the highest echelons of society. V'haraya, the Madel Albright, and Dennis Ross, and Sandy Berger, v'chola. I mean, we have Jews who are in the top echelons of government. I'm surprised that nobody came up with some rumor that Clinton's mother was Jewish, I understand. All right. Hillary's stepmother was Jew? There we go. I know. Okay. So he says, that's one. Avol hanoa hasheni, the second pivot or the second approach, heim hamuchudadim mishar hamalchiyot. Those who are brighter, sharper than the other kingdoms, v'hachachamim, and the wise men miyeter haloshonot, from the other tongues that represents people, kmo ha'adomim, v'ha'parsim, v'ha'yevanim, the Edomites, the Persians. Persia was a great gullus. After the story of Haman and Mordechai and Esther, Persia was a very pleasant exile. Jews thrived during the Persian exile. The Greeks didn't really come to destroy the Jewish people. What they did was they brought the beauty of Greek culture to Eretz Yisrael. There was an attempt, and by the way, they were quite successful. Greece did not come to Eretz Yisrael and say, accept the gods of Olympus or die by the sword. No such thing. They simply brought the gods of Olympus here to Yerushalayim. They imported it over here. All the schmutz of Greece, they imported it here. And the purpose was to sway the Jewish people by this bear hug of love. She'elu kimokein. Samu kavanatam listardateinu. Their intention was the same as the first. Their intention also was to destroy our religion. And to shatter our Torah.
b'ta'anot she'to'anim aleo u'b'kushyot she'mechabram, with claims that they had against it, or kashes. You understand? They brought in the philosophical questions. They wanted to dialogue with us. U'megamatam b'chalzeh, their purpose, their goal in all of this was lahafer ha'Torah, to shatter Torah, v'limchot ikvoteha, and to wipe out all of her footsteps, all the traces, b'chibureyem, with the books that they wrote, kemo she'edit katnu ha'anasim b'milchamotem, just like the violent ones wanted to do with their war. The purpose was all the same. The only thing is, there were two different ways throughout all of history in which they attempted to do it. There were those that were going to kill us with the sword, and as I say, there were those who were going to kill us with kindness. V'loze yitzlach v'loze. This one will not succeed, neither with the other. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu biser otanu al yedei Yishayahu, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu has told us through Yishayahu, shekol anas onatzchan, anybody who comes to coerce, or somebody who is victorious over us, sheyitkaven lestor Torateinu, whose intention is going to be to shatter our Torah, ulevatel datenu, and to remove our religion, bichlei zayin, if it's going to be with the implements of war, with weapons, yeshaber habore klei milchamto, God will break his implements of war below yatzlichu, and they will not succeed. V'zal derech mashal. Kloma, when it says that God is going to break his weapons, it's a metaphor that means that whatever means he will use to overwhelm us and overpower us, God is going to make certain that he will not succeed. Sha'atzato lo tishlam la'olam, the counsel, his idea will never be completed. Ukumo came, and the same thing is true, not only of the one who wants to destroy us physically, kol to'ein she'yitkaven levatel ma'ashe b'yotenu, anybody who comes with claims, verbal claims, questions of religion, questions of philosophy, and his point and his objective is to destroy Yiddishkeit, yetzei mechuyav min hadin, is going to emerge found guilty before God, b'ta'anato v'yevatel otar, God will remove it, v'lo tidkayem, and it's not going to happen. Kemo she'nemar, kol kli yutzar alayich lo yitzlach, any implement that is created, that's the sword, that's going to be brought against you, will not succeed. V'chol lashon, and anyone who with his tongue, with his words, with his dialogue, with his debate, with the books that he writes, takum itach, will stand up against you, la mishpat tarshi'i, from judgment he will emerge guilty. Zot nachlat avdei Hashem v'tzidkatam me'itinu um Hashem. This is the inheritance of the servants of God and their righteousness for me. Kol kli yutzar olayich lo yitzlach. So the Rambam reads that this pasuk is describing the two ways throughout all of history in which the enemies of Israel have attempted to overpower us. Either with the kli yutzar, the implement that is created by man, and what was Yeshayahu talking about before? He was talking about the one who creates the sword. And then v'chol lashon takom itach, anybody who's going to rise up against you with his mouth, with his tongue, he's going to sweet talk you, he's going to attempt to convince you of the truthfulness of what he said, none of them will succeed. I had once said, in order to elaborate and fully explain this passage in Yeshayahu and the Rambam's approach to it, we once said it in a shir, when Yaakov is preparing for the confrontation with Esav, Esav is coming toward him with 400 men armed to the teeth. He is frightened that he will be destroyed, so he prepares himself, Rashi says, for three things: L'doron, L'tfilah, or L'milchama. He's ready to send a gift in order, let's talk peace. Tfilah, he prays, and then he divides his camp in two. He prepares for war. What is his tefillah? What is his prayer? So it says, Hatzileni no, please save me, miyad achi, miyad Esav, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav. There is a famous Bet Halevi, the famous Bet Halevi, Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik the first, who asks a simple question. Why does Yaakov have to say, save me, Hatzileni no, please save me, miyad achi, from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esav? How many brothers does he have? He only has one. If he would have said, Hatzileni no miyad achi, please save me from the hand of my brother, that would have been enough. The Rebbeinu Shlomo would know exactly who he's talking about. If he would have said, Hatzileni no miyad Esav, please save me from the hands of Esav, the Rebbeinu Shlomo would have known exactly what he has in mind. Why does he say, Hatzileni no miyad achi, miyad Esav? Why does he have to be so specific? I mean, maybe he should have said, Hatzileni no miyad achi, Esav ben Yitzchak, why is he so specific? So the Beit HaLevi says, because throughout all of history, Mamish sounds like the Rambam, throughout all of history there are those who will attempt to destroy the Jewish people physically, the extermination of the Jewish people, die by the sword. And then there are those who have wanted to kill us with kindness. And Yaakov Avinu is afraid of both. He says, Hatzileni no, please save me, miyad achi, save me from the hands of my brother. If Esav is going to come and embrace me like a brother, and then what happens if he comes with the hands of Esav? He wants to destroy me physically, save me from that too. What I believe is most fascinating, and I don't think the Beit HaLevi says it, which one is Yaakov more frightened of? Hatzileni no miyad achi is the one he says first, please save me from the hands of my brother. He's more frightened of Esav if he comes as a brother, as a friend, who extends his hand in friendship to him, because that's going to be infinitely more destructive than the Esav who comes with the sword. Man will always rise up against the sword, but he may very well be lulled into a stupor by the hand of friendship that is extended. But the Rama makes it clear, both of them have precisely the same goal and objective in mind. And Yeshayahu says, Kol kli yitzar alayich lo yitzlach, kol lashon tokum itach la mishpat tarshi, zot nachlat avdei Hashem v'tzidkatam meiti l'um Hashem. Very fascinating. So the Rambam over here, this is one of the many, there are many more examples, but this is one of the places where the Rambam emerges as a parshan of Tanakh, where he explains a pasuk in Tanakh and he reads into it what certainly is its meaning. So the Rambam was not only the great posek and the great philosopher, he was also the great commentary on Tanakh. Yes? Well, I think the Rambam was born in... thank you. The Rambam was born in what? 1035? 1135? We're talking about 1,000 years, 900 years ago. I used to know the dates exactly when they had the bills with the Rambam, which, by the way, by July 1st, I'm not going to be legal tender in this country, so if you still have one like that, you can either hand it into the bank and get something else for it, or save it. It's a... it says precisely when the Rambam was... Huh? All right, so of course the he goes on to describe this. Okay, but this is enough for today. Okay, next, let's go further. Yes, what? Yeah, so I understand. I understand. In other words, the greatest threat to us in Eretz Yisrael today is not from without, but the greatest threat to us is from within. Salzeh. About this, we had learned earlier that Yeshayahu said, and this is already in the manner in which people understand the pasuk, which is not its real meaning. Mahar sayich umachar vayich mimeich yetzeu. The destroyers are the ones who very often come from within your midst, and unfortunately that has always been true in Jewish history. in the days of Chizkio, we learned about Chizkio. We didn't really talk much about the Gemara that says Shevna was one of those who was ready to not merely divide Yerushalayim, but give Yerushalayim over into the hands of Sancheriv. That was somebody who was in the cabinet of Chizkio. So we've always suffered from that. So I would imagine that when the Rambam says the Chol Lashon, any tongue that rises up against you. By the way, I know where you're heading. I know where you're heading. Well, we've discussed it often. What motivates the extreme left in this country? Why should Shalom Achshav make certain that the world knows if somebody is closing in a mirpeset in Beit El? Why will they stand and demonstrate against a Jew in his home, another, his home in Yehudah v'Shomer? Yeah, demonstrate against it together with Arabs. How can somebody be so opposed to their own people? How can people who have been fighting for years for the rights of the Palestinians be ready to say that 100,000 Jews should be thrown out of their homes? I mean, only Arabs have rights and Jews don't have rights. In other words, those who are concerned about human rights are living with an absolute unbelievable contradiction. Never would have considered the thought of throwing an Arab out of his home. This is the worst sin of all. But with absolute equanimity, 100,000 Jews will have to be uprooted, Juden, raus, and maybe they'll even come in the middle of the night with dogs, you understand? Juden, raus. And that doesn't bother these people who have such a sharply honed sense of justice and humanity, the liberal heart that's open and feels the pain of every last Arab, and feels the terrible, terrible pain of the crime that we committed here. We are guilty of the Nakba, understand? Our Nakba, alright? Why? Haven't we talked about this? Because the point of the left, is the destruction of Torah. They hate Torah more than anything else. Alright, the self-hate is the result of the fact that they hate and they despise Torah. And they know that if they will give away half of Eretz Yisrael, this will be a blow to Torah. That's what motivates them. So therefore, the Chol Lashon Takum Itoch LaMishpat Tarshi. What difference is there between Paras and Yavan? By the way, who were our greatest enemies during the time of Greece? Who did Matityahu rise up against? He rose up against the Jewish Mityavnim. The Jewish Mityavnim were the Smolonim of their day. And they were more dangerous. I'm not sure. It all comes from a hatred of Torah. And therefore they don't want to be different. I'm under the... let's say I've been living for the last 2 weeks under the impression of a book that I can only read a few pages at a time because I get sick. Every night I read a few pages and I end up, I have nightmares afterwards. There's a book, The State of Israel, just published recently by Yoram Chazoni. It will become the required reading. Yoram Chazoni is a 35-year-old fellow who lives in Eli, and he is...
tank. They're good. They're good guys. They're the good guys. Yeah. All right. So of all things, you know, what's going on in this country? So I happened to be in Chutz Laretz, so a number of people heard that I was there. They invited me to a reception in sort of to in honor of the publishing of his book, and I met him. Second time I met him, and both times were in Toronto. I never meet him in Yerushalayim. Okay. And I bought the book, $40 Canadian. That's 2.7 shekel to the dollar. That comes out, you know, about 100 shekel. To pay 100 shekel for aggravation, that's a lot of money. However, what he really does is he traces the ideological and the intellectual roots of present-day left. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating. The present-day left was born in opposition to Herzl. There were those who opposed to Herzl. The great incubator in which they grew was the Hebrew University. The Gadol HaDor, and I didn't know this, their great thinker was Martin Buber. Martin Buber, before, during, and after the establishment of the state, was opposed to the state, was opposed to Ben-Gurion. They felt that state is nationalism. Nationalism is corrupt. It's individualism. No, because a state of the Jews would mean a Jewish state. A Jewish state would mean that this state is different than any other state on the face of this earth. They wanted not a state that is rooted in a particular religion, a multinational state. Nothing. Forget Yiddishkeit and all the rest. What I didn't know about Martin Buber, and I, as Chatoya and Masker Ayom Oshanu Bokatna Dosanu, in the 50s and the 60s, if you wanted to present yourself like a shtickle, an intellectual, you had to be able to quote from Buber. Understand? And I read Buber too, you know. If you wanted to be a yeshiva bacha, was it noch a shtickle intellectual, I think you understand, then you quoted Buber. So I find out that Buber was the worst thing that happened to Klal Yisrael. From within during the 20th century, the left today are the students of Buber, or the students of the students of Buber. And I was sitting by a dinner Monday night. I had a dinner Sunday night, and I had a dinner Monday night. And thank God I didn't have a dinner last night. Okay, and tonight I'm saying Bashir, so that's even better. So then I find out that this Martin Buber, who looked like a saintly man. You've seen a picture of him with a saintly man? Was married to a shiksa. And as I'm sitting with somebody, so he says to me, oh, he once said about his wife, zufällig sie ist ein Christlicher. In other words, she just happens to be not Jewish. In other words, and this is the one who has inspired opposition to the state. There was an article last week by Charles Krauthammer where he writes a review of this book by Yoram Chazoni, and he says, frightening, it shook me, that if the 20th century, one of the greatest events of the 20th century was the establishment of the state of Israel, if something isn't done, the 21st century is going to see the disappearance of the state of Israel. And it is because of a whole intellectual cadre from within who don't want a Jewish state, never wanted a Jewish state. A Jewish state is too Jewish for them. Yes?
I always thought that the roots of this conflict were in the socialist beginnings of the state of Israel. That the people who came here as the first pioneers were totally against religion. And they came here in order to establish something as religion.
You know who was the intellectual's greatest enemy? Ben-Gurion. Ben-Gurion emerges as the good guy, the hero. In other words, though he was not religious, but he was still the one who was able to tell the Peel Commission in 1937, when they asked him, what title do you have for the land? He placed a Tanakh on the table and said that that is our title to Eretz Yisrael. Because he was socialist, but he was also nationalist. The intellectual Talmidim of Buber, Magnus, Hermann Cohen, etc., all these great philosophers, you understand, they were not even nationalists. The socialists, the Herzls, and the Ben-Gurions became nationalists. Labor Zionism, that was opposed to Torah, of course was opposed to Torah, wanted a secular state, but wanted a state. The intellectuals born of the Hebrew University didn't want a state. And they're the ones, their ideology is that which now reigns in the leftist world. We will yet give you, you know what I thought to myself while I was reading the book? We made a terrible mistake. We thought that Satmar was the great enemy. Satmar and the extreme left, I once said a great word. I'm going to repeat it again. It was that good. Moshe Rabbeinu goes out amongst the Jewish people. On the first day he sees an Egyptian who wants to kill a Jew, so he kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. He goes out on the second day and he sees two Jews who are fighting with one another, and he'll say, who do they attack? He said, they attack him. Then they attack him. The Gemara said, the Medrash says, who were these two? These two were Datan and Abiram. The Medrash also makes two other statements. One statement is, "B'matzut shebimita akatov medaber." They were fighting with one another, but do you know what kind of a battle was? It was a battle to the death. They wanted to kill each other. This was not simply some kind of a play struggle. Datan and Abiram wanted to kill each other. And then in the next breath, the Medrash says, Haim, they are the ones who left over from the Mon. When Moshe said, don't leave it over. Dasan and Abiram left over the Mon. They're the ones who said, Nitna Rosh v'noshuva Mitzrayim, let's get a new leader and go back to Mitzrayim. Dasan and Abiram were the ones who, with Korach, opposed Moshe. So you get a picture from the Medrash that you know who Dasan and Abiram are? Abbott and Costello, Mutt and Jeff, right? Peres and Balin. These two guys are such buddies, such close friends. I mean, give me some more examples. Who else are pairs in this world? The Long Ranger and Tonto. Very good. Very good. But wait a minute. The Medrash says they're always on the same side. But the first time that they appear, they want to kill each other. How do we understand this? So they said, you know what the pshat is? You will always find that the extremes in Jewish life have precisely the same approach. The example that I used was Satmar and the left, both opposed to the state. What happens if you put the two in a room together? They'll kill each other. Dasan Vaviram were united in their hatred for Moshe, the leadership. They both want to destroy Moshe, each for their own reason. But you know who they wanted to destroy more than all? Each other. You put the two of them into the same room, they'd kill each other. That's the story of the extremes. Most probably not only in Jewish life, but in both violently opposed to the establishment of the state. The only thing, as I was saying, what occurred to me as I was reading the book, is they were not the threat. The real threat, and that's the ones we're suffering, the ones who patiently continued to spew out and teach generations of students in the Hebrew University, teach them all of this. And therefore, that's where it all lies.
What's the author's name?
Yoram Chazoni.
English.
The State of Israel? I think that's what it's called. Struggle for the Soul. I hold that it's I hold that it's required reading. Now you ask me something that I can't answer. It's bad enough I'm reading the book, I also have to read the first page and see who the publisher is. Alright. Anyway, we have a lot more to do today but you see how the Rambam emerges. The Rambam emerges as a commentator of a pasuk in Yeshayahu. He takes a pasuk and gives it such powerful meaning. Ki kol kli yutzar alayich lo yitzlach v'chol lashon takum itach l'mishpatar shi zot nachalat avdei Hashem v'tzidkata me'itidi yom Hashem. Let's read another few psukim. Yes.
A little different approach. It came to mind about kol lashon, the David Irving term.
That's part of the Lashon, absolutely. That falls into the category of the Lashon and will be found guilty. Will be found guilty. Very good. The David Irving trial. The David Irving. Every tongue that speaks out against you, Lamish Batarshi, will be found guilty. Huh?
No.
My brother called me a few weeks ago and he says, you know, she was my student in Highlight.
Really?
Yeah, and then I saw the write-up in the Jerusalem Post that she went to Highlight. Yeah. Yes. Deborah Lipstadt. All right. Hoy kol tzomei l'chulamayim, chapter 55. Hoy kol tzomei l'chulamayim. Oh, let all who are thirsty go to water. Vasher ein lo kesef. That's something that you can get even if you don't have money. The Malbim explains very beautifully that which is more necessary for life is that which is more readily available in the world and even without cost. Man can't live without water. There's a great deal of water available. There's a lot of oxygen in the air. I mean, less and less as the years go on, but there's oxygen. Can't live without oxygen. You don't have to pay for these things. They're all there. And then there are the luxuries, you know. In addition to water, you can have milk or you can have wine. So he says that the basic belief in God and that God divine providence rules the world, that's the water, the bread and the water of Jewish life. And then there is also the mitzvos, Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's the yayin and the chol of the wine and the milk. So he says, hoy kol tzomei, whoever is thirsty, go to water. Vasher ein lo kesef, even if you don't have money, it's available out there. Doesn't take much to realize that God is the creator. Lechu, and if you want, lechu shivru, go buy ve'cholu and eat. Lechu shivru, below kesef, u below mechir. You can even buy without money and without price. Yayin ve'cholov, wine and milk, and you'll see right away what where he's getting. Lomot tishkulu kesef below lechem. Why should you weigh out money without receiving bread? Ve'yigiachem below l'savah. Why should you toil without being sated? Shimu shamoa elai, listen to me, and then ichlu tov, you will eat good. V'titaneg badeshen nafshechem, your souls, your lives will have the pleasure of the fat of this world. There's a lot that I have to say to you. Yishayahu says there's a great deal that I have to say to you that's going to make life much better. Hatu oznechem ulechu elai, incline your ear and come to me. Shimu, listen. I wonder how often we listen. Do we always hear when people are talking to us? No. one of the most important words in Torah is Shema. Shema Yisrael. We may think that we're listening, we may think that we hear, but listening doesn't only mean the physical act of listening. It means to hear and to absorb and to internalize. Listen, you know, Hezach Tzufa Avedot. Hatu Oznechem Ulechu Elai. Shimu Listen Utechi Navshechem. And your soul will live. Ve'ech V'tolachem B'dit Olam. If you just listen, I'm going to make with you a treaty forever. Chazdei David HaNe'emanim, the trustworthy, if you trust me, to do the kindness that I promised to David. And he's going to begin talking about Mashiach. I want to get to something. You'll see in a few moments. We only have a few moments. Hein Eid Le'umim Netativ. I have made him a witness unto the nations. Who's going to be the witness? The one who's going to bear witness unto the nations of the world. That's Mashiach. I have made him a witness unto the nations. Nogidu Mitzavelu Umim. A prince who is going to command the peoples of the world. Hein Goy Lo Teda Tikra. You will call unto a nation that you never know. That you never knew them. And they're going to serve you. The Goy Lo Yedoucha. And there's going to come a time that a nation that never knew you, Elecho Yerutzu, are going to run toward you. We are going to be the source of inspiration for the world. People that never knew us. I mean, isn't that what Yeshayahu said earlier? That all of the nations are going to flow toward Har Tzion? Nations that didn't know you are going to run toward you. Leman Hashem Elokecha, for the sake of God your God, Ule Kedosh Yisrael, and the Holy One of Israel, Ki Fei Arach, because He has beautified you. There's going to come a time, if you can just listen, if you can just hear, just incline your ear, open up, I will be able to provide you with that which is going to give you a tremendous sense of purpose, and that's going to come together with the coming of the Mashiach. Alright, we'll continue this Hashem next week. We are up to we have a little bit of Sandus Sukkim, then we come to the great Birshu Hashem Behimotzo Kuru Yubezakar. You should have a good Gesund Yantif Chag Sameach to everybody. Oh no, Zion Simchus by Kleinus, so, you know, maybe the government will fall. Who knows? You never know. Yeah, in this country, you never know. Never a dull moment in this country. What I always say, I hope he writes on that we should have dull moments, we should have dull days, it should get very boring around here. Okay.